Let's go to, we're still talking about this conclusion of the matter business, but the only job is to fear God, keep his commandments. So let's go back to Isaiah 28 a minute.
Holy cow, I turned right to it.
All righty.
One shot. We're going.
We studied this yesterday, but it's an interesting choice of words. In verse 12 of Isaiah 28, to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Now, it's universal this is the rest where you may cause the weary to have a permanent place that's always at rest. I mean, it's like location of sphere stuff. You never have to leave it. You never have to leave the rest. And this is the refreshing. Now, specifically, the refreshing refers to Messiah, the day of Messiah, the days of Messiah. And the whole of the matter now, after we've looked and studied and celebrated all the feast days, we've studied the law, we've studied the offerings, we've studied all of the mysteries with regard to the New Testament and Christ's parables. Now, up until now, hopefully, that it was line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. But now, let it be known that only way God has spoken to you is with he hasn't blessed you, he's spoken to you with stammering lips and in another language that your mind can't understand. It can't get there from here. It's that great gulf business that you can't see across it even. Except you be converted, except you become little children, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You can't even know that it exists. All you will try to do is have an improved kingdom that you see. So you'll have golf courses in heaven because you like to play golf, or you'll have whatever it is. And so you have no... It's like there can't even be words about it. So now he's saying, this is the rest, that you may cause the weary to have a permanent place of rest. And this is the refreshing. This is the day of Messiah. There is nothing left. There's nothing left to do. There's nothing left to accomplish. We're just waiting patiently with that great cloud of witnesses because we have seen the refreshing. We're not waiting for anything to happen. We don't have anything else that we have to do. Now, until you see that, then you haven't heard the whole of the matter, because I promise you, your mind will tell you that you have something to do. So, do you see the finality of this? This is the rest, that you may cause the weary to have a permanent place. They never have to be out of the rest again. And this is the refreshing. This is the day of Messiah. Just all, everything else is gone. And you're just waiting patiently. We're not even waiting. Now, that's not even the case.
Like being still.
Do you understand what faith? I was channel surfing just before Mr. Bojo came over yesterday evening. Before he went upstairs, he had put a patch on my back. But I just channel surfing, and there was this guy on Channel 12B, which is a local cable access station. He was a preacher. And it startled me because the first thing he said when I turned it on was that faith, the word faith, means the death of self. You can't have faith and have you. I mean, it was essentially, I've never used those words, but it's the same thing I've said forever. And so, and then he started making fun of faith healers. He said there's no such thing as faith healing. There's being in his presence and you are healed because, but it's not, and there are acts of faith. There's no such thing as an act of faith. And he went, he was great. He's great. I don't even know who he is. But the point of it is this is the place of faith is the place of your death, which it's, I mean, it's, that's what the end of faith is. The can't, you can't have faith and still have you. You will all you'll have is devices and cunning plans and little gimmicks and enthusiasm to try to get yourself worked up to do something else. What?
I'm just wondering if English is the official language of the kingdom of God. And I'm not wondering, it's just not. But all these words that we keep trying to use to describe the kingdom, that's what you're talking about. They don't work.
No.
All your meanings and definitions, if they're not abandoned, you're just trying to make it here on this earth.
Yeah, and again, but it's that too is perfectly in the will of God, because it's this subtlety in our culture where we know nothing about kingdoms, because it's a personal God. He's my God. He may be yours too every once in a while, but he's my God. No. I mean, the concept of ownership. Do you understand the concept of ownership is impossible in a kingdom? But we grew up, I mean, because everything belonged to the king. And now we have all this alleged progress, and we have jillions of billionaires, and everybody thinks they own something, and but that's just weight on you. That has nothing. There's nothing of value to it. That's what I mean. So I mean, language is, and that's why we refreshing to us means like we're gonna, okay, well, I'm gonna be refreshed because I'm gonna sit on for 5 minutes while I take a rest from my labors, and or Sunday is I'm gonna rest for a day here and. Part of the day anyway when I'm not watching football or something. But rest is total. And so we don't even know what rest means. Because rest has to have its component that it's the silence in the temple, the silence in your mind, the voices are silenced. It's not rest if the voices are going, because your body is responding just like if you were doing it.
Yeah, we turn rest into something to do.
Well, that's why it says, interestingly, the choice of words in the New Testament in our language is labor to enter into the rest. Well, that sounds like a contradiction in terms. But you labor, i.e. you go, you push, you do, you full, you whatever's in front of you, you push it to the end until you find out there's no there, then you enter the rest. So you have to labor until the rest comes. You have to become weary so that you can find out the refreshing. But it's not a refreshing that's for a one time or for a few minutes or for a day or two. It's a refreshing that is now forever. And then the only thing, purpose of life then, is to see whether anything can keep you off that place or get you away from it. And for some of you, you need to see that you're permanently anchored. There's nothing that can take you off. What? Uh-huh. You're glaring at me.
Well, I don't know.
Well,
Harky.
Harry, don't. You know.
I was just, in the last minute, I thought, okay, now he's getting ready and he's going to come over here and he's going to take a shower. when you go like, some of you need to learn or something, then I know you're coming around and you're going to go, right, idiot?
No, it's not idiot. Right, Clyde?
Yeah. No, so I was kind of getting prepared for...
Did it to himself.
See, I did it to myself.
That's a perfect example.
I was thinking it's not laboring to enter into a series of peak leisure time experiences. That's something completely different.
Well, it's not a break in the action where you recharge your battery so you can go back and try again.
All right, let's go to Acts and see what Paul said about all this.
Between you and Harry for 6.5 months now, I finally figured out the banner you have, what it reminds me of. Johnny Carson, nice Ed show. McMahon.
You're correct.
And you just have that chemistry.
Chemistry.
Reduced to Johnny Carson.
So, who is whom?
Who is whom?
Oh, you're Johnny.
So, and you
here's Johnny.
Here's Oli.
Here's Johnny Anthony. But do you all have that chemistry?
Have you ever had Johnny Carson say bad things about Ed McMahon?
He looks at him. May a diseased yak sit in your sister's Cheerios.
Apparently, I guess, fairly so.
Wait a minute. A diseased yak sit in your sister's Cheerios?
Johnny actually said that.
Absolutely.
Who do you say that to?
Just about everybody. Anybody that gave him a rough time?
Acts. Acts. Acts chapter 3. The book of Acts. What did he say? I'm not going to lie. Never mind. I'm
naming
the
arrow.
Ronnie's here.
Ronnie got it.
Oh, it's big of you to make it, Ronnie.
I beat you this morning.
At what?
In here.
No.
In here.
Well, you're short, but you ain't Sue.
Where is Sue?
I don't know. She's not there.
He's having a series of peak leisure time experiences.
She's getting rested
up. Sabbatical.
She's getting rested up for tomorrow.
Well, that's just out of verse 12. And when, or 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see now. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But these things which God before had showed by the mouth of all of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent you therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And again, this gives us another hint. There can be no time of refreshing without the presence of the Lord. In other words, and where the Lord is his kingdom. Now, he is, this is why it's so critical that you see that you have to come to this place, that this is the day of Messiah. This is today, is the very last day. You can't keep going on. That's what the word means when it says confess. It says homologio, speak the same thing. Now, unless you think there's something that Jesus didn't finish, or unless you think there's something about you that his blood didn't cover, or there's some situation you're in that his sacrifice wasn't enough, you can be in the kingdom forever now. And all it takes is this repent. But it's not, it's repentance not to be repented of. Do you understand what that means?
Yeah, until just now, I have thought that thing in Thessalonians about that day shall not come unless there be a falling away first. It was kind of a scary, ominous kind of a thing, like that day coming is a scary thing, and it's exactly the opposite. That day coming is like when you're 3 years old, it's Christmas morning. And it's not going to come until you see, and when you see, you will repent, and you'll see that day's already here.
Amen.
It's a promise, not a threat.
Well, it's even more than a promise. It's a fulfillment. It's all done. It's all over. What? Gary, what? No. You look like you're about to cry. What's going on?
Oh, I just... on the walk, Joe Shannon was talking about what she taught on last night. I can't be forgiven if you don't forgive everybody. And if anybody has ought, go to them, and ought hell thing. And the whole Doug and Wendy issue is just real fresh. And as you talk, I just keep thinking about the people that we generally don't like and despise.
Who's that? who is the we?
Well, we as a body, because if we're one, if one does it, then we're all doing it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And
that's sad.
It is sad, and it can't hardly be escaped. And, individually, I can deal with stuff, but corporately, I'm tied until everyone, sees and that something takes place. So it's just kind of a sad situation that we find ourselves in, where we unravel the mysteries of the universe, and yet we've got these little things that dangle around that are testing and trying.
But that's the point.
And that is the point.
The point is to see if anything will take you off this mystery. Don't get sincere on me now.
I'm just opening up my heart here.
Okay, that's good. But I'm saying you've got to even repent of that. Because it's God's business. That's what it means to forgive from the heart. This is the refreshing. There's nothing left to do. There's nothing left to accomplish.
Well, and for me personally, I hear the words, if you go to the altar to pray and you realize you have ought, then you leave your gift at the altar and you go.
And you have ought against somebody?
And that's what I'm entertaining. Do I have ought? And I think I do.
Okay, if you have ought...
So that puts it on me, really, to deal with it.
Right. And that's what we've talked about this 100 times. If you have ought, if there's some, and by definition, if you have ought against anything, it means you haven't forgiven it because you haven't seen what's happened. If you have ought against anything, if you have not forgiven from the heart every place, then that's the tell.
And they don't have to be in this community. They don't have to be brothers. They don't have to be anybody.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
It's whoever.
And they don't have to be people. Most of what people haven't forgiven are their circumstances. Well, if I had been this, then I would have done that. You can't forgive your circumstances. It's the people are relatively easy to forgive, but the circumstances are what that's because you got these things back here that have controlled you, that says You know, even the word ambition is really just powered by that engine of I've got to prove something to somebody. And so if you haven't forgiven that, if you haven't forgiven the image you had of yourself when you were 6 or 10 or 12 or when you were the nerd of the class, whenever, whatever it was, if you haven't forgiven that, if you haven't seen, then you're oh man, I wish I would have been one of those cool guys or gals or something. Well, that's just kind of stupid. But if you haven't seen it, and it's still causing you to respond to people in this kind of worshipful way, then you're an idiot. It's not to be discussed and nursed. Am I communicating? The refreshing, the day of Messiah. I mean, you can't get locked. You can't get drawn back down.
Well, the way is getting so narrow that every weight has to, you know, be cast off.
But it's always been that narrow. It's only His mercy that has weighted. That's why the fear of God and the awe of God should come upon us. Just think of all the crap in each one of you that He's waited for. Oh no, not me. I was a pretty good little boy. No, you weren't. Oh, I had a wonderful childhood. No, you didn't. Nobody did. Oh, if I could only be 16 again and know what I know now. Well, you do the same damn things you did then. That's just goofy. How did we get on this? It's Gary's fault.
We were cruising right along.
We were cruising.
We were going to finish Ecclesiastes.
We're going to finish.
That was the only one.
You didn't do a very good day.
It would be a good day to finish it because it's Friday. It's like the end of the week.
It would be so
clear cut.
We can review.
And we can celebrate. We have the whole weekend to celebrate.
I know you'd want to bring out the wine.
Yeah. Yeah. Glass of wine.
Glass of wine.
Sir, bring me more wine.
And party favors.
This is the refreshing. This is the rest where we may cause the weary to rest. This was said 900 years or something before Christ. And He was pointing at Jesus. This is the rest. Wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the day of Messiah.
Today, while it's called today. Today.
Now, if you've got to believe that you've got to make yourself important some way. You understand that? I mean, that's the last vestiges. You got to think that there's something to be done. And something has to... No. No. What?
Oh, I'm the hero, and I have to get there just in time to put that thing back in the dike or whatever it is to cause whatever it is that's going to happen. It's classic bullshit.
Yeah, that's why their children's stories are so popular.
People love hero stories.
Yeah, that's why people love the you know, whether it's a Roadrunner or anything else, and those little stupid little things, it always proves that nerdy person is the winner. Well, the nerd is no more the winner than we all lost. But those little and those myths and everything there—that's what we're created to give you life. They're just crap. There's only one story. There's only one thing that has ever gone on in the world. All right. G- Gary, your something's gelling.
Oh, this whole thing. I mean, it's just not over, I guess.
Pull the plug.
It's not. It can be entertained, Gary. It's instantaneous. That's what repentance is. It's repentance not to be repented of. Then it's God's business what happens next, instead of you having to accomplish something. Doesn't that make sense? Or is there something you think you have to do?
Stuck right here for some reason. I understand that, and it's been seen clearly and happened, but for some reason this moment...
Well, if you want it, come and talk to me.
Yeah.
So, all right. Take a big guy.